So I'm here with Ben Davison, who is a, how do you describe yourself? Sort of folk singer, songwriter, guitar player.
Yeah, all of those things.
All the above. Yeah. And you're playing as part of the Folk Weekend, obviously. So a little introduction to you that I've ripped off an online bio.
Okay.
Is that you joined Uganda's top band Afrigo, played with them for a bit. You've also played with Blue Ass Flies, The Leaves and The Moonbeams, and you released your first solo album, Good Day, Mr. Magpie, in 2013.
Yeah.
And that's been going quite well, hasn't it? Sort of.
Yeah, I actually recorded that just before I moved to Oxford, and so I had that under my belt to get started when I moved to Oxford and discovered the fantastic music scene that there is in Oxford, particularly for sort of acoustic and sort of, you know, sort of grassroots emerging artists. It's a really positive environment.
Mm.
That's good to hear. Yeah.
Do you think that Oxford has affected your music then? The scene being here and being so supportive and so many sessions? And
yes, yeah. I mean, I've played with a number of different people since I've been here, and sort of World Music Collective called Confluence, for instance, being one of them, which is I've learned a lot about different styles of music from all over the world through that, and also playing with a band called Okina, who are also playing at the Folk Festival. I play with Okina, and that's very sort of progressive new folk, I suppose. So yeah, my horizons have been sort of, you know, I always like to learn new things, and Oxford's been good for that.
Cool. Yeah, it's a supportive scene. And the world music side of your music is really interesting,
mm-hmm.
because you're way more than just a folk singer. And especially on the album, there's loads of Afrobeat influence and loads of kind of East African stuff that's going on. And it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've been interested in African music for a long time. And I was lucky enough to persuade Rise Kagona, who was the guitarist, singer and the founder of a band called the Bundu Boys, who you may have heard of, a lot of people will certainly have heard of, and he's just a fantastic musician. I urge everybody to listen, to just have a look on YouTube at some of the Bundu Boys live footage. They're an absolutely incredible band, and I learned an awful lot from him. Yeah, I spent a lot of time playing with him, and I was lucky enough to persuade him to guest on my album and also to join his band. I was a member of his band for a couple of years. But he lives in Edinburgh, so that became a bit sort of hard to sustain, just with the travel and everything. But yeah, so I got that sort of, that's one of the influences that I keep drawing on.
And sort of the rest of it is, it's a more traditional style, I suppose. Not trad, but more, it's closer to things like Cat Stevens and more a 70s style, and that understated style of softer singing. And
yeah, I suppose that's the kind of music that, you know, if I'm on a train or whatever, then that's what I choose to listen to, is your sort of, you know, Cat Stevens, Nick Drake, and music from the 70s, you know, Pink Floyd and all that sort of stuff. I just, you know, love all that stuff from that time period. Also, my dad is a musician as well and a songwriter. I play in a band with him called the Moonbeams, who are doing very well. Actually, our second album got listed in the top 50, I think it was, folk albums of the year by The Telegraph.
Cool.
Which is good. He's a very good songwriter, so I picked up a lot from him. And he's very into English folk music and listens to, you know, people like Martin Carthy, for instance. I grew up listening to that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Cool. No, it's good to grow up with that kind of thing, isn't it? So the album has a lot of collaboration on it as well, and it was kind of difficult to track all the different people that are doing things. How did that work out? Was it a collaborative, creative thing, or did you write everything and other people came in to sing it and play it?
The album wasn't really sort of planned. I mean, what happened was, as you've said, I've played with lots of different people over the years, as musicians do. You sort of get involved in all sorts of different things, but I'd never got around to releasing an album with any of those acts. But obviously, as a songwriter, I've written material over those years. I guess it was about 5 years worth of songwriting that appeared on the Good Day, Mr. Magpie album. But I wasn't planning on recording an album at all. It was actually a Christmas present from my girlfriend, who said, here's some studio time with a good friend of mine, Sam Lawrence, who produced the album. So I spent a week in the studio in North Yorkshire, Stonegate Studio, and recorded all my parts, guitar parts and stuff. And I kind of thought, well, it needs a bit more on it. And Sam plays fantastic Illan pipes. He's a brilliant, he makes pipes for a living. That's his thing. So we put the Illan pipes on there. And he's very connected to a lot of great musicians in North Yorkshire and West Yorkshire, that sort of area. So Gary Stewart is another good singer-songwriter, but also probably the best drummer I've played with. He just turned up and did it all, put the drum tracks down. Yeah, that was what happened. Rise Kagona obviously came down from Edinburgh and did an amazing vocal track on She Told You So.
No, it's a great album. It's really good fun.
Thank you.
So, yeah, you also live on a boat in Oxford, don't you? Which is fun. We have lots of boaties in the office. How does that work with your music? How does it work with practising, for one thing? But
yeah, I mean, well, if you're a solo sort of singer-songwriter, if you're actually aiming to do a set that you can do on your own, just you and a guitar, then it's absolutely fine. And the only thing that I can't get readily is electricity, particularly in the winter. And I do like to use effects pedals sometimes, like a looper pedal and stuff, so that's a bit frustrating. So yeah, you need to either run the engine to generate electricity to plug your looper pedal in, which seems a bit of an overkill. Yeah, and it's not, in terms of the solo stuff, it's not a problem, but with a band, obviously, you know, when I play with Okina or other people, I sort of go to them and we hire a space or find a space somewhere else. The recording is a bit tricky, but again, it's if you, in terms of like just sort of songwriting and stuff, just jotting down ideas, a dictaphone is fine, and I've just got myself a new dictaphone which I can actually multi-track on. It's a small thing with some very good mics on it, and you can actually build up layers of sound in time. You know, it's got a metronome on it. It's just like you would on a computer or recording on a laptop, but in a handheld sort of device.
Cool.
So that'll be, I mean, I'm not sure if I'll actually get around to recording an album on it, but I could certainly do the demos for an album on the Olympus device.
Well, that's exciting news. There's new things coming soon.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've written a lot more material since I moved to Oxford, but I just want to make sure I've got enough songs that hang together as a sort of a cohesive feel, and that I think are strong enough, because I want the next album to be obviously a step up from the last.
Do you think living on the boat has affected how you write anything? Because it is a very different lifestyle.
Yes, yeah, it does. I mean, I suppose having a lot of time, I work from home quite a lot, like 2 or 3 days a week, and my partner works quite late hours, so there's this time from like sort of 6 till 8, generally speaking, when it's like I put my pen down, and because I write for a living, so I don't actually put my pen down, I close my laptop, actually, that's a metaphor, but yeah, so I pick up my guitar and just sort of write, mostly is what I focus on. But I think, yeah, maybe being in a... I don't know. Yeah, it obviously does have some impact on what I'm writing. And in terms of what you play, it restricts what you can do, which can be good for creativity, having limits to what you can do.
Cool. So, Folk Weekend Oxford. You are playing 2 gigs. One in the Big Sing with Okina, and one solo one later in the day. So those are both on Sunday at the...
Yes, actually, it's three. The Big Sing is separate to Okina.
Hang on, so the Big Sing is... And then you're doing one with Okina.
That's right, yeah. Big Sing is Jackie Oates is running that. I'm hoping to hop into that after doing a gig with Okina, which is the band that I mentioned before, which is... They're playing at Blackwell's Bookshop. I can't remember whether it's 11 or 12. It's in the morning, on the Sunday morning. And my solo gig is in the afternoon at the Folk Festival HQ. Yeah, very proud to be playing at the Oxford Deaf and Hard of Hearing Centre. Yeah. I think they're really good on sort of accessibility as well, the festival. That's one of the good things I've noticed.
Yes, yeah, well, they certainly push for it. Part of it is to do with including as many people as possible in the music, and that's why they hold so many workshops, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been involved before?
Yeah, I played last year. Yes, I did two performances at the Folk Weekend last year, and that was the first time I'd encountered it, and I thought it was a very well-run event and engaged with people at all levels. You know, had some household names in folk terms, I suppose. So they had big names, but they also had opportunities for... sort of grassroots, folky type session type stuff activity as well, and all points in between, and people had obviously come from quite a long way to get involved, so it was good, and spread out in different venues all over the city.
Cool. So the Big Sing, can you tell us more about that?
I'm not actually involved in organising that, actually, so I can't tell you much, but I understand it to be a sort of a singing session, so people sort of sharing songs and singing together, I imagine, is what it'll be.
Definitely something to go to.
Sounds great, yeah. And Jackie Oates is a fantastic singer as well, so it'd be great to have the opportunity to do something with her.
Cool. And so obviously people should come and see you, because you'll be fantastic. But what else do you recommend? What are you going to see? What are you excited about?
Well, Count Drachmar, I always like seeing Ollie play his stuff. Ollie Steadman is a great musician, and obviously being interested in Southern African music myself, I think he's very good.
He is very good, yeah.
I'll go along to that if I can. Martin Carthy as well, I'm going to check out. I've seen him play before. He's very good. Coop Boys and Simpson I'd like to see as well. I know some of their stuff. They're very good a cappella vocal harmony. Yeah.
Exciting. Cool. So are you going to play for us today as well?
Yes. Yeah. Try and stop me. Okay, so having talked a lot about African influences, this is not remotely African at all. It's a song that I wrote after watching a documentary about Leonard Cohen, so it's more in that sort of style. It's called The Real World. If you're growing up slow, stuck in a dream, try to hold on till you know what it means, but the road is too long for your favorite shoes arriving too late, leaving too soon. Is this the real world? Tell me angels watching over you. If you peer into a microscope down a tiny well, you'll see life escaping through the walls of a cell. Faces are changing like clouds in the sky, but I saw the truth, it was there in your eye. Is this the real world? Tell me true, or are we just angels watching over? Reflecting the past, you're deep in the darkness, no oil in your lamp. You can follow the headlines, breaking in time. The real world is coming, it just passed you by. Is this the real world? Tell me true. Or are we just angels watching over you? Or are we just angels watching over you? Or are we just angels watching over you?
Woo!
Thank you.
Great, that was a beautiful song. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Cool. So you can see Ben live in his solo gig on the Sunday of the festival at 3:45 at the Oxford Deaf and Hard of Hearing Centre. And he'll also be in the Big Sing in the morning and playing with Akina in Blackwells at around 11 that day too.
Thanks a lot.